Mr. Feeney? Mr. Feeney? Mr. Feeney!
I keep telling Sarah to start an Instagram called Ducky and Rigby, or Rigby and Ducky, and it's just going to be fun little pictures.
Rugby and Dicky.
Rugby and Dicky. Just be fun pictures and videos of the two of them. The reason I really think she should do it is because, like, if she really did it, then we could, like, she could get free pet food and shit from people that'd be like, hey,
yeah,
sponsor.
Yeah, monetize on that.
Right, like, sponsor. It wouldn't even be a matter of, maybe it's not, an income stream so much as a matter of, like,
pet supplies.
Right, like, they'll just send us pet supplies to then, like, share a picture of it if it gets to be popular, which I think it would be because they're both cute as fuck. Everybody loves a good video of a cat and a dog wrestling. They do this thing sometimes, the two of them, where they'll wrestle and they'll both put, like, their mouth on the other one's neck and then just stop. They're like at a stand,
like
laying
we,
on their side,
is this cool?
And they're both like,
is
like kind of
okay?
Looks like they're starting to hug, but they're both just still like, okay.
Wow.
We're gonna. Are you gonna? All right, my. All right, and then they let it go and walk away.
That's
like,
funny.
Yeah, it's really funny.
All right, welcome to the Feeney Call.
Oh, good.
Yes, I got all of that.
So anyway, I'm Skylar.
I'm Megan.
And Rugby and Dicky are here.
And Rugby and Dicky are here.
For the record, they're Rigby and Ducky.
This is season 1, episode 7, named Grandma Was a Rolling Stone. And here comes Rue McClanahan, Grandma Matthews. Mm-hmm. She's so wonderful.
Mm-hmm. What a shame she does not make more appearances.
I know. I don't think she makes any more.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she's Rolling Stone, so she doesn't come around very often.
That's true.
Obviously.
It wouldn't really make sense for her to be around all that often, you know?
Yes. Okay, I think it's my
turn. It is your turn for the 30-second recap. All right, on your mark. Get set. Go.
Okay, so the Matthews grandma rolls into town, and she's all like, I want to do things with each of you individually. And so she takes Eric to the car show, and she takes Morgan to go shopping, and then she promises Corey that she's going to take him to get his baseball card signed the next day. And she ends up not showing up, and so they end up making a lot of muffins. And he realizes in the process that he accidentally abandoned his dad and Sean. They were supposed to go on a fishing trip this weekend. And another subplot, Mr. Feeney's niece comes into town, who's played by the wonderful Keri Russell, and Eric takes her out on a date, and they make out.
Time! Yeah.
I mean, was I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. It's interesting, as you were describing this episode, I was like, this is kind of like a Waiting for Godot episode, in a way. Like, you spend a lot of this episode where nothing's really happening.
I liked this episode, though.
I love it. It's a good one.
Heard La Cucaracha, I was like, oh, yes, it's the grandma episode. Mm-hmm, like, I got kind of excited.
Right.
Yeah, and Rue McClanahan is there. So,
of the Golden Girls.
Of the Golden Girls.
And other things. But
other things.
Very much so of the Golden Girls.
All right, what did you learn?
What did I learn? So, I had to think about this one a little bit.
It's a head scratcher.
I was kind of like, you know, this is a very like sitcom episode.
Uh-huh.
And it's not immediately clear to me to sit down and watch it like we do and be like, all right, here's the takeaway, you know? Well, here's the greater takeaway. It's easy to be like, here's the takeaway for these characters.
Yes.
Right? But it wasn't super easy to be like, here's the takeaway for you, young viewer. Here's what I arrived at. I've decided this episode is about two things, for me at least. One, the bigger one being that, like, this understanding that even grown-ups are not infallible.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole idea of, like, when you're a kid, you think so much about all these adults that surround you, your parents and your teachers. And when you're a kid, you have no concept of how old anyone is. And you just think, like, oh, adults know, like, what they're doing, right?
And, especially ones that you love and revere.
Right. You're like, oh, my parents can do no wrong. Like, I know that. My grandparents, like, could do no wrong. I know that. I'm like, right. And your teachers could do no wrong. Meanwhile, I was having this conversation yesterday with a friend about teachers, and I was like, I know high school teachers that are my friends and shit like that. And I'm like, they're like fucking 25 and like teaching a 17-year-old or something. And I'm like, what kind of fucked up nonsense is that? Meanwhile, I thought about it. I was like, my AP English teacher in my senior year of high school was probably 26.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, reflecting and, like, remembering what she looked like and just her, everything about her, I was like, she could not have been 30.
Mm-hmm.
She had to be mid-20s.
Yep.
I was just thinking about that. I was like, how fucking bizarre is that? That yes. I had so little understanding. And moreover, how bizarre is it that 1 year later, she effectively could have been like a friend I made in college mm-hmm. if she had been a non-traditional student or something, right? Yeah. Like, that's fucking weird. But again, you just, oh, my teachers and grown-ups that I love and like care about or respect or have authority over me, they know what they're doing in their mm-hmm. lives, right? And they can't do anything wrong. Or even, not even a matter of they can't do anything wrong, but just like, they always know what they're doing, right? Yes. And so this episode does a nice job of being like, sometimes grown-ups, they don't have it together, yeah. you know? They don't do it right.
Absolutely.
And like starting to plant that idea, you know, here's grandma. We all love grandma. Great. Right. Right. Yeah. But like from the second she shows up, Alan says like, oh, good.
Yeah.
Grandma. Yeah, right. Like prepared. He knows that somebody's getting let down.
Yep.
So I think that that's an important takeaway here is the understanding that like just because they're your parents or your grandparents or your teacher, like they're humans
yeah.
that fuck shit up
yeah.
still. And what I think then like the turnaround from that is Alan does a great job of explaining to Corey that like, yeah, sometimes like she and the greater adult world fucks it up.
Mm-hmm.
But she also like loves you all yes. the same. It's yes. not like she doesn't fuck it up because she doesn't care about you.
Yes.
Like that's not why some like she messed up. But that does not diminish her love for you in
yes,
any way.
Yes.
She's still just a person mm-hmm. that forgets things. Like, you forgot to call Sean mm-hmm. about the fishing trip,
yep.
right? You know, like,
yeah.
just another person forgetting something.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean you don't love them. There was a smaller one I was going to talk about that I've forgotten.
Here, I'll say
you
mine
go ahead.
You can,
yeah, I'll, get,
if
I'll
you
see
remember.
If I I'll see if it comes back.
The phrase love languages kept kind of coming to mind mm, because mm-hmm. especially with Alan sitting Corey down at the end and being like, you name it, she has abandoned me on so many issues and she has done this and she forgot to do this and whatever, but she like woke me up in the middle of the night. We went to Cape Canaveral, which is a great place, by the way. I don't know if you've ever been.
I've
to
never
Cape
been.
Canaveral. It's a lot of fun. It's a good time. It's very, it's like one of those educational fun places. It's not educational boring. It's actually educational fun.
Yeah, I would love to go. I never have.
So he was like, she woke me up, took me to Cape Canaveral, whatever. It was great. I will never forget that. Like, that is something so exciting that we got shared together. And mm-hmm. that's how she shows me that she loves me, is she, even though she is, yeah, fallible and she does make mistakes and she is not perfect by any stretch of the mind,
mm-hmm.
she still takes the time to show me that she loves me just in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like you have to... You can't discredit somebody just because they don't show love the way that you do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that was kind of where my what came to mind for me was, don't discredit someone because they don't show love the same way that you do.
Right, right. I think that's good. I like that, the idea of mm-hmm. this all being about like the love languages there mm-hmm. and that whole idea of understanding how you give and receive
mm-hmm.
love is not exactly how somebody else may give mm-hmm. and receive love.
Yes.
Yeah, that's nice. I like that a lot.
Oh, thanks.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
that's
thanks.
Good. Oh, you know what? Do you have any trivia about this episode?
So actually, my trivia is more about Eric, because Eric is prominent in this episode. This is
yes.
one of the first episodes where Eric is truly prominent and has kind
sure.
of his own storyline that doesn't involve Corey necessarily.
Yeah.
He has his own thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's granted,
and
it's
more
with
than
Morgan,
like a couple of one-liners.
Yes, correct. If auditions had gone according to plan, the cast would have been Harry Brandes as Eric and Anthony Tyler Quinn as Alan. However, Anthony Tyler Quinn, who plays Turner
mm-hmm.
later on,
right.
was too young, and Harry Brandes was actually cast in Eric Matthews, and there's a VHS of the pilot shot with him in it floating
oh.
around somewhere in the universe. I guess it was created, and then it was recast, and Alan was obviously... is now William Russ, and then Wilfred L. took the place of Harry.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, somewhere in the world, there is a pilot episode
where both
those roles are not William Russ and Wilfred L.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love that it was Anthony Tyler Quinn, too, and that
yeah.
like, they gave him a role later.
Yep. Well, yeah, because he was too young, so.
Sure.
He didn't actually have the part. Matt McCoy was originally cast as Alan Matthews, but Anthony Tyler Quinn auditioned for Mr. Matthews, and they were like, eh, you're too young.
Sure.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, so that's my fun trivia.
That's neat. I like that. You know, while we're talking age, there was something Feeny says that ticked my just interest a little bit in terms of age, right? Because it's when he comes over and he asks about entertaining a teenage girl, as he phrases it, which...
I have so many thoughts on everything that happened with,
yes,
with Carrie Russell, which... Carrie Russell! Carrie Russell!
Yeah.
She's so great.
Oh,
she's,
we'll dive deep
really
in that.
She's really cute and good in
she
this d-
She's so
too.
Good in this
she's
episode.
She's so good.
Oh, she's great.
She's
top. She does really well in this episode.
Top drawer.
I thought about, though, Eric says, like, you got a date with a teenage girl? And he says, not since the Eisenhower administration, mm-hmm. right? So what is that? That's like 1950, right? Mm-hmm. 40 years ago.
So Feeney is 60. He's in his 20s. Early 20s.
Right. What struck me as interesting was the previous episode where he talks, where Corey stays up late watching the game with his dad, mm-hmm. and Feeney talks about how he wanted to stay up to listen to the president on the radio.
Was it Truman? Yeah.
Announcing the end of the war, right? Was the announcement on the radio, or?
Yeah, so that would have been.
That would have been 45, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And he talks about it as if he was like a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Oh, so I guess that does all kind of line up. Then.
Kinda.
He could have been
Let's
like 17.
He's 12. Let's
sure.
say he's 12.
Sure.
Because he's relating it to Corey, who's the, if they were similar age, he'd be right. somewhere between 10 and 12.
Yeah.
So then give it another 10
years. He would have been
10 years.
Between like 17 and 20
yeah,
in
yeah.
Eisenhaur administration. Okay. So okay. it all does all right, line up. All
right. It lines up.
Yeah.
I all was right. Boy Meets World. You got away with it this time.
There's one continuity timeline check mark for you.
Well, there's an inconsistency in this one, though, and going back to the Aerosmith episode where they go to the Aerosmith concert, Alan is like, I had parents like you wish that you had, but I had those parents who were boring and stick in the muds and didn't leave the mm-hmm. house and didn't get involved. And then we see Alan's mom is a Rolling Stone, and she's like partying all over the nation, and she's like, I just came from wherever the fuck in my van, and she's apparently had that Winnebago since Alan was a kid, because mm-hmm, he says that she...
Threw him in the Winnebago. Yeah.
So she's had it for a while, so clearly she has been
up
and out and
you're
around.
Right.
So the only thing that I can think of is that that is his biological mother, but he grew up with step-parents, or step-mom.
That could make,
However, she's still wearing a wedding ring.
Wow.
So maybe she had a husband, maybe he died or they got divorced and she still wears a ring or whatever. Or maybe it was just a decoration ring. They do that in Friends all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was the only explanation that I could think of, is that maybe Alan grew up with, maybe that was still when his parents were together and then they got divorced, and then maybe mm-hmm. Alan moved in with his dad and his stepmom, but we don't get enough of that. Maybe it'll come to light a little bit more as the series continues, but I found that was very inconsistent, was Alan said that.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a second.
Kind of feels
on.
Like they probably just forgot they wrote.
They probably did.
You know, it feels like they...
I mean, listen, that was close to the same episode where Sean said he had a sister. So.
Right. Well, and in this episode, Corey calls over to Sean's house to Mrs. Hunter.
Yep. I mean, which
that,
is fair.
Which
is
fair.
Because
like,
Verna's
there
at this point.
And, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. That he was like, he stole my dad. And then at the end, he's like, I didn't steal your dad. He walks away. He's like,
bye
dad.
Yeah, yeah, it was a good bit.
But I did think about this. I can't honestly say that I would have been comfortable going alone on a trip with any of... And it's just a fishing trip. It's just a day trip. But still,
right.
I think about growing
when
up,
you're 11, would you have gone on a
gone,
trip one-on-one with one of your friend's dads?
I don't... Well, not dad.
Friend's mom, I
For
guess.
For me, it would be mom.
Sure.
I'm sure. My parents would have been like, oh, no. But I don't think that I would have. Maybe my best friend growing up, her name was Libby, I might have felt... We were so close that I called her parents Aunt Mary and Uncle Pat.
Mm.
Like, that's how close our families were.
Yeah.
And so maybe I would feel comfortable going somewhere with Aunt Mary. I think I had been alone with Aunt Mary before, but not like a day trip. And granted, it's fishing. You're just kind of sitting and being quiet. So it's
well,
not
so,
like you have
so
to
the difference being, though, right, that it was not a matter of... that was not the plan.
Yeah,
right.
Well, originally, yes. But even, I feel like if Sean had shown up and he had been like, all right, I'm ready to go, and Alan's like, actually, Cora's ditching us, Sean would have been like, all right, fine, that's okay, maybe another day, bye, and like
but
left,
what,
but he still went.
What I was led to believe was not that Sean came over to the house
oh, that
and
he
they went,
came
was
to
that
the
Sean went,
area.
Like, met at, they were gonna, like, Sean was gonna meet Corey and Alan
but
at.
But why did he come home with them? Afterwards, then he came
help carry
Alan.
The gear. Maybe I mean Alan gave him
but
a ride.
But then, wouldn't
home.
You need to carry the gear there if he helped If you help carry it home, then wouldn't you need to carry it there?
None of it makes sense.
I understand.
None of it makes sense.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying in that, like,
yeah, that was what I kind of resonated. I was like, you know, Sean still showed up is what they say. And
I guess. Well, here's the thing. Okay, brain. Here we go. 90s things. Okay, so cell phones weren't a big thing.
Right.
Were not a thing, really, except for
no one had a cell phone top tier. Right.
So then they said, meet us there at this time.
Yeah.
So we met them there. Great. Awesome. Cool. We don't know when we're going to be done fishing. We don't mm-hmm. know what time. So how about this?
I'm going to bring him home.
And we'll call from the landline because that makes sense in 1993.
Yeah. I mean, it holds up to be like, okay, Sean, meet us at the wharf. And then like telling Sean's parents, like, I'll bring him home at the end of the day. There's no sense for you to come pick him up. But, you know, like, that way.
Well, yeah, and they don't know. I mean, the fish could be biting all day.
Right, like, we don't know when we're going to be done. Yeah. That all holds up, I think. That's what I think happened.
Fair. With Sean. I just still would not feel, I don't think I would feel comfortable.
Sure.
Being alone with, I don't know.
I don't know if I would have with one of my best friend's dads, mm-hmm. just, like, one-on-one time in a boat.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have.
Nowadays, I could see spending time with my significant other's parents one-on-one. Like, I would go out with Quinn's mom and just hang.
Well, you're an adult.
But, yeah, I'm an adult now. So it's like, well, but even now, even I think about, I guess I'd go out with Ray's mom. I guess I'd go out with Jamie's mom. Like, I don't know if I'd feel, I mean, maybe. I guess it depends.
I don't think I've ever hung out one-on-one
with a parent.
With the parents of any of my friends. No. I mean, I've definitely been with Sarah's parents without her, or I feel like, actually, you know what, in college there was a time I wasn't one-on-one though. It was like me and another friend were together with another friend's parents and that friend wasn't there.
That's fair. I guess I've been home. So Hannah's dad came to visit just for, I don't know if I've said this before. I think I said it last episode. Ray and Hannah are my roommates, so when I reference them, that's who I'm talking about. But Hannah's dad came up to help us install our air conditioning units, mm-hmm. and Hannah had to work, and so it was just he and I alone, and we, like, chatted and had a mm-hmm. good time, just the two of us.
I mean, Scott and I are, like, I'd hang out with Scott.
Yeah, Scott's a cool guy.
I'd love to kick back on, like, share a beer with Scott. If you're listening, just know that I'd love to hang out.
He's got a lot to say. He's a really cool guy. He's very cultured.
You look at him and Scott's, you're like, top notch,
right? You look at him and you're like, this Ron Swanson motherfucker, but he's like a really cool guy.
Yeah,
he's like super cool.
A big fan of Scott Ewing and Mandy.
Big fans. Mandy. Mandy loves me. Anyway, doesn't matter.
So I bet you they love me more. We're just gonna have a little competition over that.
Well,
Scott and Mandy, if you're listening, you have to choose.
If you're listening, I'm really sorry that I just said the F word on the air so many times that I said it. All right, whatever. Anyway.
So that's all that.
So that's all of that.
Anything else? Anything else to learn? I knew I had another lesson in mind that I wanted to talk about.
If you
about.
Think of it, just interject it somewhere.
I'm going to rack my brain for it.
Okay.
You go
on.
So
who in their right mind, first of all, would date Eric? All he can think of for date ideas are movie dinner. He makes
dinner,
that
movie,
very clear.
Dinner,
and
dinner,
I'm
movie,
like, that is the most boring. I wouldn't date. Of course, Eric never has a date. I wouldn't date him either.
When you're
they have a carnival in town, and he, like, it's Morgan's idea to take her to the carnival. Like,
sure.
Come on.
Movie when you dinner, are 15, really, what else do you do?
You
cannot drive.
You cannot drive. That is true.
You are 15.
You can still be dropped off at places, though. I feel when I was...
But you are, like, you're going on effectively your first couple of dates, and everything you know is perpetuated from film and television that says probably, like, dinner movie stuff.
Fair, but still, I remember doing a lot of different kinds of things with even just, like, going out for, like, a cup of coffee and then, like, taking a walk to a park from there, mm-hmm. or, like, something like that. Like, there are walking options. You can take a walk. Mm-hmm. I've been on a lot of walks. There were a lot of hiking trails where I am from, in very interesting, like, different parts of town. We have a drive. It's called Grandview Drive, and there are a couple of places you can stop and sit down, and, like, the view is great. Mm-hmm. It's one of the only hills in Illinois, so.
I want you to know, and I know that this is not what you mean, but it all sounds like a euphemism. You can go on a walk. We all went on a lot of walks. There's these spots on the walks that you can stop. Like,
it does.
Everything about
it
sounds like a euphemism. I understand that's not what you're after.
No.
No, I mean, I agree. Like, it's boring to just do dinner and movie.
Yeah.
Even also, Viking? Five the
go,
record.
Go for what?
No, go ahead.
Five.
It's a, anyway, it was like a for the record, but five the record just to emphasize it more. Biking.
Yeah, you could go biking. Mm-hmm. You could go hiking. There are other options. And it's summer, so they can be outside. They can take a walk.
Is it summer?
Well, they're going to the carnival. Carnival is usually a summer thing, or like a fall thing.
They're in school.
That's true, but they're outside with very light jackets on.
I mean, it's probably... Well,
it's she like, doesn't even have a jacket
it's
on.
It's November.
I don't know what weather is like in Philly in November, but she's outside without a jacket. First of all, her outfit is so Urban Outfitters, it's insane. But
yeah, I mean, she looks great.
Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, she anyway. Dresses so well in this episode.
But yeah, she is outside without a coat to start with. Feeny's got on a light coat.
It's a nice November, but it has to be November because the previous episode was Halloween. And we move sequentially.
You're right.
We're coming up on a Christmas episode. So we're in November.
So I guess, yeah. Well, whatever. It's a fall fest.
Anyway, sure.
You can still... But that's a nice time to go for a walk. You can go for a walk. You can pick up an ice cream cone on the way. Hell, he can even go to the mall. He took Morgan to the mall in previous episodes.
That's the thing. In the 90s, if you were going on dates, it was like people went to the mall. All the time.
That's true.
People went to the mall and were mall rats. 80s and 90s. A lot of mall rats.
That is very true. But anyway, Eric's like, the only thing you can do is dinner movie. I was like, oh my God, no wonder no one.
But the interesting, we're not supposed to think he's good at dates.
Yeah, that's true. But he has some moves. I mean, he ends up making out with her and there's like full on tongue. They like make out. Mm-hmm. It's not some peck on the lips, mm-mm. Disney Channel shit. It's mm-mm. full on like... I'm pretty sure I saw Carrie Russell's tongue. So.
Hashtag Carrie Russell's tongue.
But he did come out and he whips the bag of fertilizer.
That's a great scene. Where do you want me to leave this fertilizer, Mr. Feeney?
Well,
I didn't intend to move it.
So hard. It's so good. I love Eric and I love this episode of him in it and he's just trying to be the cool kid and then he has the stupid model's signature on his arm. Mm-hmm. It cracks me up. One of the things that I thought of that was kind of a random thought, but Mrs. Matthews, she starts making muffins. They make all of these muffins. And
tons.
Then she's like, I think I'm going to make a cake. And I was like, are you trying to carbo load? What's going on? What's happening?
Make something healthy. Damn it.
Right? Like make a healthy, I don't know.
She's just trying to distract.
Make a stew. I don't know.
Just trying to distract Corey.
I know, which is why she got my MVP this week.
Oh, we're there. All right.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Mrs. Matthews, I feel like, is one of the only people who's, other than Mr. Matthews, she's very honest with Corey in a way that obviously the grandma is not.
Mm-hmm.
She tries to distract him. I don't know. He's like, grandma's not coming. And she's like, no. And we're going to sit down and have a little conversation about it. You need to talk to me about it and kind of vent to me because I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is something that she does. Obviously, her husband has talked to her about this from his childhood. So I don't know. I definitely like Mrs. Matthews in this episode. And yet she's still so welcoming to her mother-in-law. And she kind of mm-hmm. knows that she's going to break one of her kids' hearts. But she's not like, get out of my house. She's like welcoming to her.
I love what you just said about this idea of these conversations her and Alan have had.
Yes.
About like his childhood with her.
Yeah.
You know, I love to imagine like what those conversations mm-hmm. were like. You know what? Talk about a spinoff. I want to see the Alan and Amy.
Right? Their relationship
spinoff.
Well, and there's an upcoming episode where Alan says something about like, we broke up twice before having issues.
Right.
He says, we broke up twice. And she's like, we broke up once.
Right.
And got back together. And he's like,
I never let you date whatever her name is. Yeah. I would love to see a series that's about Alan and Amy and their youth. Presumably they're in their 30s.
Yes.
Well, if Eric's 15.
Then they've got to be mid-30s. At least, well, if they met in high school, probably got married. Neither of them went to college, so they probably got married shortly after high school. So I can imagine they were maybe 20 and 21, 22 when they had Eric.
I mean, they talk about how young they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, 30, so like they were maybe 20.
37 right now?
Yeah, yeah, they're mid-30s.
Well, and when she has Joshua, which is 5 years later? 5 years, something like that.
Years are erroneous.
It doesn't matter. But she's like 40.
Yeah, she says she's in her early 40s.
Because that's technically considered a geriatric pregnancy there, being in your 40s, especially in the 90s. Alan was a contender for MVP. Mm-hmm. However, when Carrie Russell goes into the house, he comes out and makes a comment about her, and I was like, no.
He does.
No, no, sorry, you lost me. We're done. How dare you? Yeah, get out.
He does
of
say
my life.
Nice.
Nope. No. Ugh. No.
Yeah, that's a little skeevy.
Nope. She's 15, dude. She is not of age. Not okay. Hell no.
Yeah.
Stop objectifying your son's dates. No. That's why he lost me in that.
That's
in that
fair.
Moment.
That is fair.
And he has an honest to goodness moment with Corey later. Overall, I think he's a good dad. That's also a very 90s thing, I feel like. And just whatever. That's a very stereotypical sitcom thing for the dad to be like, the son to be like, yeah, and then I nailed this one chick or whatever, and the dad to be like, nice. Like, that's a very, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, grandma walks in, is like, we're gonna go to the auto show and check out some babes, you know?
I mean, they're very good about Eric's budding sexuality. I feel like, especially with like the hickey thing, how his mom just like shoots him a look, and they probably had a conversation about it later, but they're very good about being patient with him as he's going through this, like, all right, girls are the most important thing to me right now, and that kind of thing. So.
I mean, I appreciate, it may have come too little too late. I do appreciate later in the series when we get an episode all for Eric to discover what it's like to when Eric and Jack go in hiding as women.
Yes.
And when they're in college.
Well, we get that.
We get with Sean.
Earlier.
Yeah, we get it earlier with Sean. And that's a great comeuppance episode for Sean.
Yes, I cannot wait until we get to that episode. That is a top contender for my favorite episode.
It's a good one. I was going to say, though, I think that like that same episode kind of needs to happen for Eric in terms of how he talks about women. I guess, I don't know. You know, we don't see him ever treat women poorly. He's always begging at their feet.
I mean, he's just he's objectifying like any 15-year-old boy, 16-year-old boy, you know.
He gets his lessons later. Needed them earlier. Anyway, my MVP of the episode goes to Morgan.
Yes! The greatest.
Morgan.
This is my brother Eric. He's very shy.
I love Morgan in this episode.
So great.
And it's like, I love that it's horse shit when we start with Eric literally dog training her.
Oh,
right.
It's so good. She opens.
It's a great joke, and it's also awful. And I love how manipulative she is and using that to her advantage. And
yes.
And how smart she is about everything she says.
She got wise.
Yeah, she wises up. I think that Morgan shines in this episode.
She shines in the past two, really.
She does. She gets some great comedy.
Good screen time.
You said you wanted to.
She comes in after she goes shopping with grandma, and she's wearing a coat exactly.
I know. You're right. I wanted to comment on that. She's wearing the same fringe jacket.
Cute.
It's really cute. For real.
Such a good episode for guest stars, and a good episode for anyway.
Yeah, it
good
was. A, I mean,
time
it's
for everyone.
It's definitely one of the more. And I think I've said this about a couple. It's one of the most like sitcom episodes.
Yeah.
I think because it's like we got your popular guest stars.
Mm-hmm.
We got a plot of no consequence. We've got just some good jokes, some excellent screen time for the youngest kid in the cast. Like the most like by the book. Great 90s sitcom episode, but it is it's a good one.
It's a good one.
It's good.
I enjoy it.
And
it
no small part due to the performances all around.
Yes.
Cool. You can like us on Facebook and Instagram.
Yes.
Or Twitter.
We're at FeeneyCall. Also Facebook at FeeneyCall. Like us, subscribe, do the thing, all the things.
Mm-hmm.
Rate, review, but only if it's nice.
Subscribe. If you
write
to
us if you disagree
you
want to
send
with
an email.
Anything that we say, or
yeah.
if you wanted to point anything out, or if you have any trivia that you'd like us to share on the show, just let us know.
Can we get a Vine?
We're going to get a Vine. We're going to get a MySpace.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if we're being honest, Vine was the greatest thing that ever happened to social media.
True story.
And how upsetting
is
that
it
imploded.
Gone?
You know, like of these terrible ass social media things that we have in the world, how upsetting is it that Vine had to die?
But how fortunate are we that they are all documented and put in collaborations and on YouTube?
Compilations?
What did I say?
Collaborations.
That's not what I meant.
Compilations. Go watch some Vine compilations.
Why
not?
Go do it. It's a rainy day.
You know what? I remember there was a good Vine that was using, that was, it was the dance Corey and Sean do. The one with,
oh, yeah.
And it was set to some great hip hop track. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Class right. dismissed.
Wait, say it again. I said all right at the same time.
God damn it.
Oh, sorry.
Class dismissed.